Give us clear minds, and may your spirit work in our hearts and convict us of things and we need to go, directions we need to go in our own lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Brian.
Now, David said I could speak for as long as I like, but he threatened me with two large elders leading me out if I went too long. Okay, a missionary theme. One of the most important things in missions, it's most important thing in mission in our church, mission in our lives, mission as we serve God in any way, is faith. You know, when I first went out to the mission field, my cousin, who is an elder in my church, was annoyed because the church wanted to give a set amount of money for my support. And he said, you should be living by faith. So I said, no, you should be living by faith. Because that is the Christian life. And I was interested in what you said this morning about being consumed by God or burning out. And I think one of the reasons why many Christians burn out is because our faith is actually in ourselves. It's in our effort, our planning, our organization, our program, what we know, instead of truly being in God. And so I want to look at a very famous chapter, which in one sense is a chapter on missions, but it's we know it is a chapter on faith in Hebrews chapter 11. But it's actually, in a sense, a chapter on missions as God calls people to serve him and they further his purposes in the world. So we're going to just read it through. I think it's good to read God's words. We read the whole chapter through to get the flavor. Hebrews chapter 11, and starting at verse 1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised, they only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry ground, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life. Others were tortured and refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, sawn in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only with us, together with us, would they be made perfect. Verse 1 tells us what this chapter is about. In Hebrew writing, the conclusion is always at the beginning. And so there's always a statement of what the writer is trying to say, and then he fleshes out his argument. And so he starts off at the beginning of this chapter saying faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. And that's actually what this chapter is about, being sure about what we don't see. And it says being sure of what we hope for. Now, you know, this church is called Hope, and I hope that you understand what hope means. You know, sometimes we say, well, I hope it doesn't rain for the parade tomorrow, but we really don't know. Or perhaps we say, well, I hope I do well in my exams, but you know, I haven't put that much effort into studying, so I really don't know. That's not a biblical hope. A biblical hope is we know what God is going to do because he promised. And our faith in him is not based on what we see, it's based on what we know about the character of God. God is faithful, and he will always do what he says he's going to do. He doesn't usually do it when we want it. You know, we write up a program, okay, God, this is our program for this year, for this decade, this is what we're going to do. And God says, all right, that's okay, I will use you, but I will use you in my time, and it usually is not in your program. But we are certain, we are absolutely certain of our hope in Jesus because we know the character of God, and that's what faith is. And what that means is we very rarely see what it is that we're believing for, because our hope is not in what happens to us. Our hope is in the character of God. It's not a mathematical proof. It's not a documented history, although the Bible is, but it is trust in the character of God. And so most of the time, we don't always see what's going on. We don't know. And so faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain about what we do not see. And he starts off in the first few verses just giving a quick overview. He says, we know that the universe was formed out of nothing. God created the world. Verse 4, by faith Abel gave a better sacrifice than Cain. And so we understand the sacrifice for sin. We don't know how it works, but we believe because of the character of God. And verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken. He was there and then he wasn't there and he was taken. And he didn't experience death. And so we have a hope for the future. And so in these three verses, the writer to the Hebrews has outlined the whole of our faith. God created the world. He saved us through the sacrifice of Jesus. And in future, we know that God is coming to take us back. And yet none of these things, we see them. They're not in front of us as, you know, a film documentary of the death of Jesus. We believe it because of the character of God, and that's what he said. And so without faith, it's impossible to believe God, impossible to please God. There's a story in Alice Through the Looking Glass written by Lewis Carroll. There's a conversation between Alice and the White Queen. And like most of the things in Alice Through the Looking Glass, it's very weird. But the White Queen is talking to Alice, and she makes this comment. She says, I'm just 101, 5 months and a day. I can't believe that, said Alice. Can't you? Said the Queen in a pitying tone. Try again. Draw a long breath and shut your eyes. Alice laughed. There's no use trying, she said. One can't believe impossible things. I dare say you haven't had much practice, said the Queen. When I was your age, I always did it for half an hour a day. Why? Sometimes I've believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast. Now, I read that out because that's not faith. Faith is not believing 6 impossible things before breakfast. Faith is trusting the character of God. We know that what God has said is true because his character is trustworthy. And we need that because God doesn't run to our timetable. A really great preacher that I listen to a lot, and I heard him again, and he said it 3 or 4 weeks ago at a meeting I was at listening to him, and he said, all of God's trains run exactly on time. But you know what the thing is? It's not our time. It's not my timetable that his trains run to. They run to his timetable, and they all run exactly on time. And so faith is certain of what we can't see. How does that work out? You know, if we look through the characters in this chapter, we see a number of things going on, a number of people, and we see here a story where God is commending all of these people for their faith. And what I have done is looking through this chapter, I've thought about the backstory. And you can easily do that. All of the context, all of the backstory of these people is in the Old Testament as they were serving God, as they were going out and doing what he asked and building his kingdom and serving him and taking his word and living their lives according to his word. And so we can see the backstory in the Old Testament. And some of it is mentioned here, but some of it we can think of ourselves as we go back. And so we see the story of Noah in verse 7. Noah built an ark. Now, you know, we read that and, oh, that's really easy. You know, Noah built that ark, and we think back to our Sunday school. Have you ever thought about Noah building that ark? How long did it take for Noah to build the ark? You know, how long does it take to build a ship? We were down in Port Arthur and, you know, they built ships down there, you know, by hand. Everything was done totally manually. And you know, maybe it took a month or 12 months, or maybe it took a couple of years to build a ship. How long did it take Noah to build his ark? Well, if you look at the parameters and you look at the ages of his family and when God called him, it's anywhere between 50 to 100 years. So God said, it's going to rain, build an ark. They'd never had a flood. They didn't know what one was. And so for 50 years minimum, perhaps 75, maybe as long as 100 years, he built that ark, and all the time everyone was mocking him. And he didn't see what God had said was coming. He had to wait. And so faith is believing when the answer is delayed. And Noah worked for 50 to 100 years without any answer whatsoever. Nothing. It was like he was just doing the most stupid thing you could imagine. In the middle of a dry plain, building an ark for a flood that no one had ever seen before. And for 50 years, he went on without getting the answer until right towards the end. Abraham had to go to a land, and he didn't know where he was going. God said, oh, well, just go, just, you know, head off. No GPS. Well, if you have a GPS, it's blank because you don't know where the end point is. I want you to go. Well, where am I going? No, just go. Just go. Just head out. And I'll lead you as you go. And Abraham didn't know where he was going. Abraham was promised many things. We go back to the Old Testament. Abraham was about 75 years old when God promised him a son. Now, you know, by my books, 75 is getting pretty old. And so that already took a major leap of faith to actually believe that God was going to be able to do that. You know, how can you give me a son? I'm 75. Bit old, aren't I? But he was 75. 10 years later, when he was 85, Abraham was still waiting. So where's this son you promised me? And so God came and promised it again. And that's when we have that verse that Abraham believed God and he counted it as righteousness. He'd already been waiting for 10 years. Where is this son? It's getting a bit late. A year later, Ishmael was born. You know, Abraham went right out and thought, I've got to do it myself. You know, God's getting a little bit behind. The train's not coming. And so Ishmael was born, and God says, no, it's not Ishmael. Just keep waiting. And when Abraham was 99, God came back, and he said, you're going to have a son. He said, well, yeah, there's Ishmael. He said, no, it's not Ishmael. You're going to have a son. He'll be your son and Sarah's son. And Abraham has now been waiting almost for 25 years. Where is this son? And he's 99, and he says, you know, I'm a little old. And God says, no, you're going to have a son. And a year later, a son is born. How long did Abraham wait? And there was no answer to that promise. Faith is believing when the answer is delayed. And you know, sometimes you never receive the answer. Abraham never, ever, ever saw his inheritance in the land that God had promised him. He wandered around there, but he was always a nomad. He never owned any of it. You know, the only bit of land that Abraham ever owned in that promised land, do you know what it was? It was a gravesite for his wife. The only bit of land he ever owned. He never saw the answer, ever. He was still, all of these people, it says in verse 13, all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive what had been promised. And if we are going to be people of faith, we have to believe even when we don't see the answer. Because it's not what I do, it's what God does that will make his work through me successful. It's what God does. Verse 39, it says, they were commended, yet they didn't receive what was promised. God said, good on you. Your faith is brilliant. But they never got the answer. And God said, that is fantastic. That's the sort of faith I commend. That's the sort of, it's easy to believe when everything's going right, you know, it's comfortable and, you know, it's a nice sunny day and we've got all the things that we need. It's easy to believe then, but God commends the faith that can wait and believe him absolutely even when there isn't an answer. And faith is not only believing when we don't get the answer, it's believing when things start to go wrong. It's believing when things go wrong. In verse 17 of chapter 11, we read where God has promised, you know, finally the baby has arrived 25 years late, according to Abraham, exactly on time, according to God. And Isaac grows up and he's a young lad, and God says to him, right, I want you to sacrifice your son to me. What? But that's the promise. I have waited so long. I can't give you my son. Is that what Abraham said? No. God said, give me your son. And Abraham said, okay, I'll do what you want. It's going wrong. The plot's going pear-shaped. But God knew what he was doing. In verse 24, we read about Moses, who by faith would rather suffer humiliation, would rather be mistreated with God's people, would rather suffer and have difficulties than live the life of luxury in the palace. Things were going wrong for Moses. They went terribly wrong. Part of it was his own silliness and his own rashness, but just trusting God and following God's program got Moses into a lot of trouble. He had to give up a comfy life in the palace. He had to give up his status as a prince in Egypt. He had to give up all the enjoyment that he had there as a prince in the palace of the most powerful man in Egypt. He had to give it up and be mistreated so that he could follow God's plan. Things went wrong in that sense. Humanly speaking, things went wrong for Moses, and he would rather things go wrong and be with God than have a comfortable, settled, predictable life where he was outside of God's will. Joseph, it talks about Joseph, who by faith predicted that they would leave Egypt. You know the story of Joseph. Just think about how long Joseph was in jail. God gave Joseph a vision about what the future would hold, and just talking about that vision led to endless problems in Joseph's life. He was kidnapped by his own brothers. He was sold as a slave. He went down to Egypt. He was accused of a crime he never committed. He was thrown into prison. He helped people and they weren't grateful. They forgot about him. Everything went wrong. And Joseph remained faithful because he trusted God. For 20 years, things were wretched and miserable. He was a slave. He was in prison. He was forgotten. And yet he trusted God the whole time. Faith is believing when things go wrong. Verse 35 to 37 talks about people who were tortured and cut in two and who died and suffered, and they all had faith. They were people who trusted God. Faith is not only believing when things go wrong, when bad things happen to us. Faith is trusting God even when we fail, even when we fail through our foolishness and sin. We can still trust God. You know, there are stories in here. It talks about Noah. Well, Noah, and it says great things about Noah. You know, the thing that strikes me about Noah, Noah was drunk and disorderly, and we don't even know what he did. You know, God had rescued him and put him in the ark and all this great stuff. He was a great hero, floating the ark around the world and landed, you know, got all those animals together. And then at the end of it, what does he do to thank God? He gets drunk and disorderly. And he's committed something so terrible that they won't even talk about what it is that he did. And there he was, his sons found him, passed out, blotto, legless. Wow. And he's a hero of faith. Abraham, All the things that Abraham did. He lied about his sister. He made the mistake of fathering Ishmael because he wanted to drive the program. He had so many wives after Sarah. You know, the story of what happened after Sarah died shocks me a little bit at how Abraham behaved. He was incredibly cruel to Hagar because he wanted to please his wife. And did he really have no doubts? You know, when God came to him when he was 99 and God said, "You're going to have a son," he laughed in God's face. And Sarah laughed in God's face. And yet, under it all, he trusted God. Abraham was full of faults. He was an ordinary man like us. Moses, he killed a man. He struck the rock, and God said, "No, I didn't want you to do that." He was kept out of the promised land. His family life was a mess. Rahab was a prostitute. She lied about where the spies had gone. I mean, is that really good that she lied? David, he sinned with Bathsheba. He had so many wives when God had said the kings weren't to. His family life was a complete mess. He couldn't control his sons. He couldn't control his cousins, who were nominally his employees, who were the guards, the chief of the army in his army. And so many things in David's life were out of control. You know, if you really want to look into it and dig into it, these heroes of the faith were not heroes because they were brilliant people. They were not heroes because everything they did was perfect. Their lives were not in control. But this is what was there. Their heart was under the control of God. They had a passion for God. They burnt out for God. They were consumed by a love for God. And most of all, they trusted only in God. Because, you know, it's not David's great achievement. It's not Abraham's great achievement. It's not Noah's great achievement or Joseph's great achievement. The reason they're commended is because they trusted God and they allowed God to achieve great things through them. You know, there's a story of Gideon. We don't have time to go there. But the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6 to 8, and it's mentioned briefly here. He says, I don't have time to tell you about Gideon. Gideon wasn't a great hero. Gideon was an ordinary, scared young man. And he allowed himself to follow God's plan. He trusted totally in God. He didn't trust himself. He didn't trust his cleverness or his bravery or all of those things, his own plans. He trusted God. And that's what God is trying to say in this chapter. Look at these people, the heroes of the faith. They're only heroes because they trusted God. They weren't heroes because they were heroic. They were heroes because they trusted God. And they trusted God when things went wrong. They trusted God even when they failed. They trusted God when they couldn't see the answer. Their trust was in a God who is totally trustworthy. And God came through. He gave the answer. They didn't always see the answer. But they saw in the future, they saw eventually Jesus came. Because all of these people trusted God and followed God and did what he asked them to do. God was able to use their lives to bring the greatest salvation that this world has ever seen. And that's our lives in mission. We don't always see what our part, the part that we play. We don't always see the things that God has set in motion through our lives. We don't always see the answer to our prayers. We don't always see the things that we have done. We see the messes that we create. We see the things that we have done wrong. We see the things that have gone wrong because of what other people have done to us. But you know, at the end of the day, we have to see it's God who's at work in us. And trust him. And then we are people who have faith that is sure of what we hope for. And being absolutely certain of what we can't see. That's faith. And that's the faith that God commends.